Yeah, we all have the ability to be these sexual masters. We do, everybody. So imagine that world, you know, like everybody's sexually fulfilled, feeling good, confident inside. They got laid the night before.
Well, I'm here naked. That's the truth, and so are you, and it's okay to remember that it's okay to really feel it, feel every little bit.
So happy to be back with you this week. It's been a really, really fun time in Nateland. I'm thinking about reclaiming my actual name, which is Nathan. This is like a whole other story that I'm just going to get into. But anyway, hello and thank you for getting naked with Nate. It's such a pleasure to have you back. This week is another banging week, excuse the pun. I have the amazing guest and friend Lily LeBeau, who is an independent porn star, adult worker, adult entertainer, sex worker. She's just so rad. I mean, those are some of the things she does. But the reason I had her on is because since I've connected with her through the internet, through the website Make Love Not Porn, I saw her one of her videos on there, and then I found her on social media, and just we started chatting, and I just was like, I could immediately tell this is someone who I am interested in and who I'd like to have more conversations with. And we covered so many topics in this. Everything from what you'd expect around what is it like to be a sex worker and those kind of things, but then very quickly going into how shadow work and how being a porn star and someone who works in that industry has helped her to do some of her shadow work and learn about boundaries and about consent and all these kind of things. And she's studying to be a yoga doula, which is someone who does yoga, but also helps women go through their births. She is into beautiful spirituality, the way she talks about her spirituality, her connection to God, and just so many things. We cover a lot of things in this, and we even briefly touch on how gut health is connected to overall health and well-being. Oh man, I can't even go into how many epic things we chat about, but I really, really recommend and enjoy, and I'm so grateful for this episode with Lily LeBeau. What I was saying before about changing my name, well, not changing my name, my name is Nathan, and Nathan literally just means gift. And I've been thinking so much about how that's actually kind of what I'm here to do, is just to gift you, the listener, the listeners, the people out there in the world, through my music, through my stories, through how I show up and connect, is just to gift you and the world and myself with just truth speaking and just showing up and sharing whatever feels important and real to share. And I kind of just love that. It's nothing against my name, Nate. I love the name Nate. My sister was the first person to call me that. And then when I started playing music professionally, I kind of hopped on Nate Maingard. Maingard is my surname. And that's all my links. It's all my branding. It's everything. So if I was going to relaunch as Nathan, that would be quite a big deal. But I don't know. Maybe I'll just start calling myself Nathan, and you can call me Nathan if you feel like it. Otherwise, whatever. Nate is fine as well. as always, lots and lots of the things we chatted about, if I could find it, I put it in a link in the show notes at nakedwithnate.com. I suppose I'd have to even change the name of this podcast if I changed, really rebranded back to Nathan. Oh man. Anyway, I also redesigned my cover, the podcast cover, to be a photo of me now rather than me in 2013, which is what the cover has been up to this point. Lots of changes, lots of good things. Overall, things are good in my life. If you know me, then you know that depression has been a part of my life for some years. It's still a part of my life. And this year has been one of the best I've had in a really long time. I've been doing a lot of therapy, a lot of psychedelic assisted therapy, which I also talk about in other podcast episodes. And you can find links to that in the show notes. I just feel like my base level of humanness, of kind of showing up, has been just, I've just more there, more here, more present, not as wanting to check out as much, even though I still have my daily patterns that are harmful in terms of like social media use and things like that. But overall, it's just fantastic. And yeah, working on releasing my album, a little bit behind on that, so slight stress there, but also just stoked that I'm doing it and getting to create and share. And so it's all wonderful. thank you to anyone who is reviewing and sharing. Please do leave me voice notes. I will share a little voice note at the end of this episode after my chat with Lily LeBeau, which is from Charles. So thank you for that one, Charles. You can always go to nakedwithnate.com and you'll see there's a little say hello menu item. You can click that, leave me a voice note or a message, whatever you like, leave a review. And the final piece before we get into this episode is to just invite you to join the community. If you love this, if you get value out of it, I would love to for this to continue just being a purely community supported podcast. I am looking for sponsors at the moment. And I'm hoping I can find really good, responsible, epic ones that align with what we're doing here. And the only source of funding right now is my Patreon. So if you feel the vibe, go to nakedwithnate.com, click the Become a Patron button. You do get extended video versions of episodes. So for example, this one with Lily, if you want to see a video, unedited video version, that's kind of quite a bit longer, and you can see the two of us interacting. I personally think it's super fun. I prefer audio just because then I'm driving, I can listen to podcasts, it's easier. But I know a lot of people prefer to be able to see something, which I totally get. So you can find that on the Patreon, nakedwithnate.com, and click that Become a Patron link. And that's it. I so appreciate you being here. It is a gift. I'm honored. It is a gift. My name is Nathan. It is a gift. I'm a gift. You are a gift. We are all gifts for one another. And yeah, please enjoy the wonderful Lily LeBow. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast, Lily LeBow.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And actually, do I say it Lily LeBow or Lily LeBow, Lily Bow, Lily Boo?
Yeah, like I realized after being in the industry for a little while that my name was just so terrible for people because it's hard to spell, it's hard to pronounce. And I had one fan, actually, I was in my car and he saw me. He's like, "Oh my God, it's Lily LeBow." I laughed because it was so sweet, but I was like, oh no. So
what is the technically correct way to say it?
Yes, like a bow you would put in your hair. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah,
yes, yeah. Oh. And it's actually grammatically incorrect because it has the feminine at the beginning, la bow is masculine. But that happened because an agent tried to steal my domain name, lilylebow.com. So I was told, oh, yeah, just change one letter and you can get it back. But then that one was stolen too.
No.
So I said, I'm just going to keep it. Yeah. If you go to lilylebow.com, I don't own it. It's spam sites. It's somebody's making money and they have been since 10 years. So
I'm offended that people do things like that's just disgraceful.
Yeah. But I like it. You know, it's like I'm like masculine and feminine. And there I feel go. Like that's very much me. So, LeBow.
Nice. Well, actually, yeah. So I found one of the things that really drew me to you in the first place after finding you on Make Love Not Porn was then watching, just seeing you on social media and specifically on Twitter, I think mainly. And it was immediately clear that you are such a real down to earth, like humanly human. And that's always what draws me to people overall is when someone is showing up, however that looks. And so I guess I'm curious to know, how does your sexuality mix in with your kind of, I don't know if I'd call it spirituality, but your sense of self-exploration? Because you seem to be someone exploring yourself.
Yeah, I definitely am. Thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing that, because I do want to be and show up as an authentic person. And I've always wanted that before porn, ever since I can remember. And yeah, porn really made me have to face that, you know, how can I be authentic when I'm like filming these scenes that I don't really have much control over? And it's a beautiful process that I've been through, you know, from 18 years old until now, and trying to, yeah, every scene I am, even if I'm playing a character, it's still me. I want to be myself. I want to find, you know, go to those places, but those places are in me. You know, I don't go anywhere that I don't want to go, sexually or in the mind or, yeah. So, It's still a process though, because you're still a brand. You're still kind of trying to play the game of life, of appearing as something that somebody wants to follow, you know? And
right.
And then there's, yeah, the whole responsibility of, oh, now I'm someone wants to follow. I have to be better and be, you know, use this for something good. And it's a process and 10 years and I still feel like I'm just figuring out how all this stuff works, you know?
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, what do they say? The 10,000 hours rule, like the more we focus on something, the better we get at mastery. And actually, I find this interesting. This reminds me of one of the earlier conversations we had around, I think I asked you, what was it? It was like, how has your relationship with partners been, or within your sort of the person behind the brand or the mask that is Lily Labau? And we're all walking around with masks. I have so many, like we're all masked, whether we're playing a role, whether we're porn stars or not. Like it's anyway, I don't know if many people realize that, but it's all roles we're playing. And so I was curious to know, how has it impacted your experience of maybe dating or something? And you said something quite interesting at the time, which maybe you can remind me the details, but it was about how people's expectations of you when they know what your job is, and then you go on a date, and then you're now the person who's going on a date. You're not the brand or the person doing your job. You're there meeting another person. How has that experience been for you in various ways?
Yeah. So basically the question is like, how's dating while being a porn star?
I guess so. I think you should write all my questions, because I tend to make things so long-winded, but yes, in short.
Yes. Yeah, so dating while being a porn star is a challenge, the learning experience, you know, being in the porn industry is kind of like a crash course with a lot of life lessons, and that's included outside of the actual filming. I do think people have this idea of the porn star, you know, of, oh, she's like this on film, she must want sex all the time, and I'm not going to be able to satisfy her. My dick's not big enough. You know, there's all these things that the mind will tell a person, and they're not really true. And so I'm kind of stuck there trying to be like, hey, I'm a real person. Hey, I'm still trying to figure out if I even want to have sex with you, if I even want to have another date with you, you know, like calm down.
Right.
Like, you know, so it's also beautiful because by showing up as myself, I'm also kind of fighting these stereotypes and illusions that people have. And by still being authentic in these dating scenarios and real life situations, it is doing some good, I think. It is kind of helping the bigger cause, which is like to humanize sex workers, porn stars. You know, we have a really cool job, but we're also human.
Yeah, I find there's such an interesting thing around that it's, what do they say, the world's oldest profession is sex work, basically. And so why is it still one of the absolute most stigmatized? Like, why do people have this, you know, like treat, on one side it's the one of the biggest industries in the world right now, just from a financial perspective, like how much those site YouPorn, etc., how much those sites are making. And then on the other side, it's like, if you're a sex worker, it's, oh my gosh, who would do something like that? What kind of, no. So I agree, for me, like humanizing, not just sex work, but the work of being human, because we're all showing up as best we can. And in the West, somehow we have separated sexuality from goodness or pureness, or do you know what I mean? Like saintliness. When in actual fact, sexuality, I mean, the example I come back to again and again is the beautiful clitoris, which is the only part of any human's body that's only purpose. It has not another purpose other than pleasure, than pure, just like, fuck yeah. And if someone is maybe super religious and they go, well, God made us perfect, then I'm like, well, God clearly loved sex. Just throwing it out there.
God made us perfect. That's right. And I believe in God. I don't believe in this specific Christian God, but I mean, look around. I was raised Christian, and I still have that sense of wonder of the universe. That's what God was to me then. And it's still that, you know, like, yeah, our bodies are designed for pleasure, cuddles, kisses, you know, even gazing, just energy, like We're designed for that, but we are faced with a lot of shit, you know, a lot of trauma, a lot of guilt from our ancestors, even not even from us. It's like, you know, look at your history and I can tell you like a lot about why you are the way you are, because it's your ancestry. It's you, you know? And so I think people carry a lot of like heavy baggage and it's projected onto others in shaming others and dominating others. And yeah, it's too bad, because we all have the right for pleasure and to love. And I think that's like a big revolution that's happening right now, is people are starting to heal. Things are coming up, you know, this it's happening. And I'm the kind of person, I always want things to happen faster. You know, it's not fast enough, but like it is, it's happening. And healing takes time, because things come up and then it's like process. And you're like, oh my God, you know, it's physically draining. It's emotionally draining. It's a lot to deal with. So if it's all at once, it's like, it's too much, but it's happening and you can see it. And we're at a very critical time right now. It's exciting kind of, but it's also so, so scary. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so with you on that. Oh, that's beautifully said. I feel like I made that mistake a lot when I was like sort of maybe mid-20s around healing. I thought, it's like, okay, I realize I've got shit that needs to be worked on. I got trauma, I got stuff. I've been acting out. For me, actually, my sexuality was one of the ways I hid from my trauma. I was a player in my sort of late teens and up until my mid-20s. And I used sex and sexuality as a way to kind of hide from my discomfort. And it didn't work. I unfortunately emotionally hurt a lot of people, and I hurt myself. And so that was like this big awakening. But then I was like, okay, now I'm just going to heal, and then I can have the rest of my life to enjoy being healed. So I did, I think it was like this frog medicine combo, ayahuasca, Vipassana, climbed Kilimanjaro, all within, I think, 6 months. And then fucking just burnt. Like, it was just horrific. I opened up so many. I just didn't do any more of that work for quite a long time afterwards, because it was just too much all at once. And I realized then exactly what you've just said, which is it takes time. It's okay that it takes time, little steps. And the question I have for you around that is, do you have any work like around that work? Because it sounds like you're really self-aware. Do you have any daily practices, or do you have any sort of medicine work you go and do? Or is there anything specific that you find is working for you in that way?
Yeah, I'm super excited about this program, this school that I'm taking. It's a yoga doula, and it's prenatal, postnatal yoga teacher, but also a woman's companion during birth, after birth, kind of like just her support, her helper, her caretaker when she's in this very vulnerable position. And it's 9 months long, and it's based off Kundalini yoga. And wow, I'm so glad I found Kundalini yoga, because it's like a soul medicine, like a physical practice of yoga, but in very specific ways. And sometimes you don't even do both sides. Sometimes it's a very specific kriya. And yeah, this class, it's 9 months long, and we do one weekend every month, and we have some months off. And every single time, it's this healing, transformative process. And we do meditations, we do yoga, we learn about the woman, the feminine, the divinity of us, of giving life, you know. And that has, I can't tell you like how many times I've cried in that class, you know, because it's just so beautiful, this feeling of being supported by women. Because as a porn star, you know, it's like women are scary, because you're like, I want to love you, but I'm scared you're going to hate me from the beginning because I'm a porn star. And that's not usually the case, but it's the fear. And so, yeah, having this class and doing Kundalini yoga on my own, that has been the best medicine I've found so far in my life.
Wow.
And I'm so excited to continue with it.
That's beautiful.
I'm not finished yet. Yeah, I finish in February. So.
Oh, cool. Oh, actually, that reminds me. You're also an Aquarian. I was checking out your website before this call just to see if there was anything specific I wanted to check in about. But I see that we're both Aquarians, which is lovely.
Yes. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers to that with my jar of water.
Oh, nice. Coffee.
Nice as well. Very nice. Oh my gosh, Lily, I think you are just such a wonderful human. I really love that you can show up so gently and clearly and honestly when there are so many people in the world who are hiding from themselves because of shame and because of doubt and fear. And I know that you're as human as we're all human together. And this, again, I said this too, I just recorded a podcast with this lovely lady, Kate McGill, yesterday, and just saying thank you to her and thank you to you, because really, we are the people who are just showing up and acknowledging that we don't have the answers and we don't know what the fuck the right thing to do is. And it's like, but here we are being as real as we can and trusting that that's what the world needs. And so just, I don't know, just thank. I could have said that at the end, but it just felt, I just really appreciate everything you've just said.
Thank you. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, thanks for giving me this space, this safe space to express myself.
It's a privilege. Thank you. There's something I did find on your gallery. I was actually trying to download on the front page. You've got a beautiful photo of you in like very colorful kind of stuff. And I just love that photo, but you've somehow managed to stop me from right clicking and downloading photos, which makes sense because I suppose then people would do that all the time. But then I went into your gallery and I saw this very interesting, it looked almost like a poster. And I wanted to find out from you, is this an actual, some kind of work, or is this a shadow work, or is it just a porn film you made or something? It's called Shadow Work with an E-W-E-R-K. Turns out facing your demons can also be a lucrative career option. Lily LeBeau explains how. What the hell was that about? That sounds great.
Okay, cool. Thanks for noticing, because that was actually the favorite poster that I did. I was doing a few for promotion for Halloween, trying to kind of get into the darker energies. And I thought that one was so funny, but it didn't get the most likes. So I was like, oh. But yes, because in sex work, a lot of times we spell it W-E-R-K, working work. And I thought, oh yeah, like it's so funny because porn has been this like facing of demons. It's been confronting my people-pleasing skills, my need to be perfect, so many things, my relationship around men, around sexuality. And I'm so thankful for it because, yeah, like I said, it's a crash course for all that stuff. And so it was kind of a joke that, like, you know, through the videos that I make, through the videos I film for other people, I'm kind of doing some soul work. I'm learning things about myself. And yeah, so I thought it was funny because shadow work is also a term for, yeah, going deep inside and kind of bringing those shadows to the surface. And porn has done that. Other things as well, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, I love that because that's so much a part of my awareness about life and reality. And it seems that in our modern culture, we've created a society that's all about sort of quick fix and comfort and gratification, instant gratification. And there's not enough of that acknowledgement of the shadow, which is all the stuff that we hide from or run from. And it's the stuff that also has the greatest gifts for us. And so when I saw that and I was like, what is this? I was kind of hoping it was like some kind of a porn movie that you'd made, because it would just be such an interesting one to, although actually now that I think about that, I don't know how you would do that in a way that it would, I actually have no idea, but I just loved the poster. I was like, it looks so hardcore. And I loved what the, turns out facing your demons can be a lucrative career option. I was like, damn, that sounds so interesting. Very cool. Very cool. Actually, I wanted to play. So I thought if you're open to it, I have a song called In the Shadows, which I just thought, I don't know if you've heard it, but it's really about that. So it's about turning around and facing the demons, basically. And I spent a lot of my youth running from place to place and person to person, thinking every time, oh, it must be the place or the person that's the problem, instead of going, why is it the same stuff happening over and over again in these different places with different people, realizing it's in me, it's my demons. And so, yeah, oh, that simple little thing. So I thought we could listen to that song now and then, yeah, just carry on and see what happens next.
Yes, please.
hard to open up my eyes when I feel like I've been blind all of my days. Now I'm wandering through the haze and the world, it looks so crazy. Maybe that's just me, maybe it's just me. We all find our secrets, patient in the shadows, right there where we left them waiting. And no matter how far we run, they run right beside us. Our demons know our names better than anyone. This construct beating at the locked up door and gripped tight. Deep within my fist is the key to all I've missed. That the pain is just a teacher and the cage is just a myth. We all find our secrets, patient in the shadows, right there where we left them waiting. No matter how far we run, they run right beside us. Our demons know our names better than anyone. Lie, lie, lie. And giving power to the worst I can imagine lives in me. And now, oh, to my surprise, when the ghost as me disguised is the best at breaking everything, everything, everything I dream. Lie, 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 lie. Stay dry by dodging all the raindrops falling thick. Try lifting up your tongue to the rain, not just the sun. Nothing quite so simple was ever so much fun. We all find our secrets, patient in the shadows, right there where we left them waiting. No matter how far we run, they run right beside us. Our demons know our names. We all find our secrets, patient in the shadows, right there where we left them waiting. No matter how far we run, they run right beside us. Our demons know our names better than anyone. Lie, 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 lie.
So I have some questions that some people have asked on the old Twitter, because I am so wonderfully disorganized that I only posted about this just a few minutes before we started. But I have, I think, some of the questions that I'm sure you've been asked many times. One of them is, what does their family think about their profession? It was Mike who asked that.
Yeah, that's a pretty common one. And, you know, it varies from person to person. It's hard to say. Like, I guess if you have like one of those families that are like super similar, they agree, they are tight, you know, but really it's been a family member by family member thing for me. And, you know, I had some family come to AVN, which is the porn awards in Vegas.
No way.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I've had a few family members. So that's like really precious to me. They didn't, you know, it was totally fun. And I was so glad they're there. There's the feeling of like, is this okay? Like, is this okay? Like, yeah. But like, yeah, it's okay. It's okay to go look at all the booths and see all the girls and all the guys, you know, at the cameras. And it's a fun experience and kind of shows like what a madhouse the industry can also be. And I like that they see that. And so, you know, obviously there's some family that's like totally not okay with it. And you know, that's also something I get to, they have to work through because, yeah, you know, I'm here. I want to be in the family. I want to show up, but I'm not going to show up to places that I'm feeling really judged and not welcome in some sense. So that's been a big one to learn is like, even though it's family, some people are just going through something. They're not quite okay with it. It's bringing up a lot of trauma in them. And yeah, I wish I could help them through that, but I can't always. And so I go with the ones that love me and make me feel warm and welcome. And yeah, but overall, everyone's really supportive just of me. It's not the porn that they support. They support my happiness, you know? So that's, I'm lucky for that, really.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I get that. That's awesome. Yeah, I actually, so because I upload videos to Make Love Not Porn, and I've told, I think just about everyone, definitely my parents. And I mean, in my case, people often ask like, oh, so you make porn? And I know technically it might be defined as porn, but I've never thought of Make Love Not Porn as porn. It just doesn't feel like that to me. And so I've never particularly wanted to make porn. My personal history and experience with what I define as pornography has been pretty negative overall, from a young age, when getting like sort of educated or miseducated by that, because it's performance and that's fine, but there's not enough differentiation or education about what that difference is and why it's important to know about it. And I think it's actually unfortunately supported by even Hollywood or just mainstream media, where it portrays women as these sort of sexual beings and men as these pneumatic pleasuring machines who will bring these women to, you know, in a Hollywood scene, it'll cut from, they'll like kiss, and the next thing they'll be making love in bed together, and that's, and penetrative, having sex. And it's like, that's the, there's none of the, oh wait, but there's like a whole process that can happen beforehand. That's all the stuff, all the thing, all the curiosity, the question, the fumbling, all those things anyway. So, So I don't know. I think that it's good to differentiate. And as Make Love Not Porn says, pro porn, pro sex, pro knowing the difference. I think they say it best, actually.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And how do you feel? Cindy. I love Cindy. I'm actually, she's going to come on this podcast at some point. She said she was keen. So I'm very excited.
Yes.
How has your experience been? Because you've shared on Make Love Not Porn, and that was with one partner at the time. And then obviously your job is sex and videos and webcam and all that stuff. So how did you find that experience of Make Love Not Porn versus your mainstream job? And then, yeah, just how does that feel?
Yeah, so I did, I had two separate partners. I've done a few videos and I love the idea. I love the whole concept around Make Love Not Porn, the real world sex, the fact that, you know, people can actually see the full experience. The range of sexuality, you know, like, I love that she's like, yeah, do whatever you want, have lazy sex, have crazy sex, you know, she's like, just make it real. And yeah, the first few videos I did was with a partner I had who was also a performer. And yeah, it was kind of fun for us because he was really good with video. So he set up this little, you know, camera phone on the bedstand, put something on the ceiling, kind of looking down. And then we didn't have to worry about anything. We just got to have fun. And yeah, I mean, we still are always going to kind of think in the sense of like, what's going to sell. You know, I know this sound, I'm being honest.
Yeah, being honest.
Because, yeah, but at the same time, I guess that's also the beauty is we're like, let's make a really sexy video. Like, I won't give it away, but the first one we did was very naughty. And we liked that because it was something that we didn't do on camera, but we did in our personal lives. And so we're like, yeah, we'll share this on this site. And, people loved it. So, yeah. I love Make Love Not Porn. And I always tell people about it. And I haven't uploaded for a while, but I'm getting there.
Nice.
I'll be back.
Yeah. It's It's an interesting one for me because I realized a little more of my, maybe, what's the word? Not voyeuristic, the other way, the exhibitionist side, yay, where I love the idea that people are watching. And in fact, I hope that they can. I know they want to introduce commenting onto the system, but I really love the idea of being able to get direct feedback from people, just because it's like in your, what I was thinking now is like, what was I thinking? It was how I've watched some of your, one of your videos on Make Love Not Porn. It might even have been that one. And it's like, it's such a relief to be able to share sexuality as well as just our everyday human lives. And to normalize it in such a way that it's okay that I've watched a video of yours and we can still be two humans together having ordinary conversations about spirituality or shadow work or whatever else we're going through in our lives. And that that sexuality is just another part of that story of being human. I just, I'm so grateful for that. So how do you feel about that? If someone, do you have any like actual sort of friends or, I mean, I know you've got a lot of people in the industry, so that makes sense. But do you have people who give you, who say, oh, I watched that video and I love this thing about it, or I love that, or, and how does that feel?
I guess around porn, people are a little more apprehensive to say that they've seen one of my videos.
Right.
It's not like Make Love Not Porn. I can't say that I have that, but I think, you know, being able to normalize talking about sex with friends and if this were to happen in the future, you know, for me, when somebody asked me like, oh, do you mind if I watch one of your videos? My feelings are always like, I don't mind, but are you going to mind? Are you going to start feeling weird when you see me? Are you going to get all awkward and anxious thinking like, oh my God, it's internet. You know, it's like, that's my only fear when people ask about that, because I'm like, it's up to you. And if I had a problem with people seeing this, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, true.
And I don't, because in a way I'm like, you know, I also have that pride and a little ego around it. So I'm proud of the stuff that I've done. Most of it anyway.
Uh-oh.
There are some scenes I hope just stay buried forever.
Right. Fair enough.
We all did that in the career, you know, at the beginning, hairstyles and
right,
growing up, yeah, on camera. But yeah, I like my industry friends, because yes, we can talk about buttholes and health, relationships. And all around with this, like not being afraid to say like the elephant in the room, which is like sex, you know, and how important it is and how different we all are around it. And yeah, in the porn industry, it's like some people do this, some people do this, some people do this, you know, and there are some things you don't have to do if you don't want to. And nobody's, for the most part, nobody's going to judge you. They understand like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, why did you do that? Why did you decide to take three guys at one time and in the ass? You know, it's like, it's fun because we can say these things very, I'm like, I'm not sure if I can share this on here, but you can edit it out.
You can share anything on here. You can share anything on here.
But like having that freedom, there's nothing like it. And I want everyone to have that freedom to, yeah, it's just normal to talk about these things. And the feeling is incredible. So,
Yeah, I feel like the position you're holding within our society right now, and I mean you specifically, not you. I mean you specifically, yes, as a sex worker, but specifically you, the way that you're approaching it, and the way I hear you talking now, I think is such an important role. And I actually saw on your website, you said you want to be a sex educator. And I think that that is all tied in, because there's a beautiful book called The Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity by a guy named Daniel Reed. And it's based on the Taoist principles. And in the East, there was none of this westernized shame around sexuality. So we had several thousand years of sex is a sin. It's only for reproduction. You should feel terrible about it. All of those things. In the East, they had sex is epic. It's the most incredible thing. Let's research it. Let's go deep into it. Let's work out how we can make it the most incredible thing possible and use the sexual energy for healing, for growth, for connection, for all these kinds of things. And I love the one line he says where like there was one old text that said a man should go into the bedroom with his velvet sort of toolkit ready to roll out with all the different tools and toys ready for pleasuring, because one of the basic simple differences between the male and the female is that a man is like a fire. You can light him and he'll burn quickly, but he burns his fuel fast if he's not careful. Whereas a woman is like water. She might take time to get hot, and she often needs to take time to get hot. But once she's hot, she boils for a long time and can. And so there's this, to acknowledge that is super important. Anyway, so I just thought of that in terms of like bringing that back into the West of, let's just fucking talk about it. Let's talk about assholes. Let's talk about double penetration. Let's talk about toys and sex and kinks, and let's fucking talk about it, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and talk about our insecurities as well. The shadow work again. It's like, it's okay to say like, I'm not as good at this as I want to be, or I feel insecure in this area. It's okay to acknowledge that and then say, okay, I've acknowledged it, and then build from there. You know, it's like, we all have the ability to be these sexual masters, you know, we do, everybody, you know? So yeah. Imagine that world, you know, like everybody's sexually fulfilled. Everybody's feeling good, confident inside. They got laid the night before, or they pleasured themselves, and so they're feeling great. Because, you know, yeah, it's not even just always about other pleasure with others. Like self-pleasure is really the foundation, I think, of our own sexuality, how we touch and love ourselves first, you know. That's a huge one for me. That's been, you know, I give so much on camera, I give so much on my clips, but then sometimes it's like, okay, but when have I taken time to just touch myself in a loving, sensual, maybe sexual, maybe, but it doesn't matter. It's kind of just like really acknowledging my body and myself, and not even going all the way to orgasm if I don't want to, but if I want to, you know, why not? But yeah, I think that's where a lot of us can start, because we're trying to depend on others for fulfilling our needs when we can fulfill our own to begin with, and learn about ourselves. Like you're saying, learn about the fire, learn about the water, learn about how our bodies respond to different things. And then, yeah, open up to like more pleasure, more connectedness with partners, and confidence, because yeah, you've kind of discovered your energy, your body. Yeah. Sorry, I went on a tangent there.
No, that was a bloody beautiful tangent. I'm all for it. I so agree. I mean, I think it just, there's so many things that came up. I don't even know where to go, but that was beautiful. That was poetry. Thank you. I agree. Oh. Yeah, I think one of the things, talking about insecurities, that was a huge turning point for me in my life. That literally, that was from a young person watching porn and just chatting with my friends and not having really, having little bits of positive influence. Like my dad really tried. He when I was about 13, driving home from school one day, he's like, "So are you masturbating?" I was like, "Oh my God, this is so embarrassing." But he was really trying, and he gave me a book on sexuality, on sacred sexuality, with all these exercises and things. And I paid no attention to it because I was so indoctrinated by the culture that we live in already. And so I spent those first sort of 6 or 7 years of exploring sexuality so fucking awkward and fumbling and not talking about it, just inside, having these shameful experiences that I felt so terrible about. Like the first time I had sex, I must have come in like 15 seconds, if that, 10 seconds. Like it was just 3 strokes and I was done. And I just felt this huge, like, that's not how it's supposed to be. What's wrong with me? All of these things. I actually lost a friend because of that, because it was with someone who at the time was like my best friend, and we just happened to go to that place, and it was my first time, and it was just so embarrassing that I literally lost the person I really cared about, and probably definitely caused emotional trauma for her as well. And just these, it's like, fuck. And it wasn't like I was trying to be a bad person. I was just, it was carrying so much shame. And that turning point, realizing that decision I made of like, I am going to just tell people how I feel when I feel it. And that changed everything immediately. Like, oh, I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable right now. Or does that feel okay? Or can we just slow down? Or I don't know if I'm going to get hard right now or whatever, all the things. So thank you for saying that, because I think that I hope that everyone hearing that can use that and value it somewhere in their own lives. Speak the truth, no matter what, gently and kindly for yourself and others. Oh, that's good. Or even on Make Love Not Porn, they have the one hashtag soft serve, which is sex when a man isn't hard, or like sexual interaction when a man isn't hard. Because I was like, oh, that's so nice that they include that as an option. And I was like, that's great.
I didn't realize actually. And I think that's amazing also.
Oh, and I was going to say, if you are thinking of more Make Love Not Porn videos, I personally would love to obviously see, but just think it would be really rad self-pleasuring. If you ever wanted to share that connecting to self process, I feel like that would be hugely valuable. It is hugely valuable. I've seen some really beautiful self-love videos on Make Love Not Porn, and I it's something I want to take more time for with myself. And yeah, definitely. So thank you for that. So we have some more questions here. We have Jess asking, what profession would you be doing if you weren't doing what you currently are?
All right, sit down. Here we go. So I am constantly curious about life. I've dabbled in a few different things outside of porn. I love nutrition. I love, for a minute, I wanted to have a juicing business.
Cool.
I went on a juicing kick for, 6 months, and photography, dance, singing. My God, I want to do more traveling, film it, write a travel book or have a travel show. God, what do I not want to do? That's the problem, And to be honest, porn allows me that. Sex work, the money I make in the short time that I make, allows me to have these other hobbies, aka dreams, possible future careers. Who knows, that's the funny thing, is that's also the problem, is because it's like, okay, well, pick one, And I'm like, oh, I can't pick one. There's too many. Life is too short. I want to do everything. I want to learn all the languages and live in all the places for a year. And yeah, it's just, I don't even know.
It sounds like a lot of wonderful options. I can see the mind is now spinning. I'm like, oh, how many jobs can I fit into one life?
Yeah.
So I have another question, which I feel like you kind of touched on earlier, and we could go a little deeper as well. It's an Ari asks us, do you believe in God?
Oh, yeah, we did kind of touch on that. And my theory is that all the religions, all the practices, most of them are just phone lines to the same person's house. We're all calling up to this God, and we're all using a different phone line, but at the end of the day, we're all calling the same thing. And I think sometimes it's been a bit warped, but the feeling of God is love, is this oneness, is this forgiveness. How can you not feel God? I do.
I love that. Did you just make the phone line? Where did you get that phone line thing from? Because I think that's one of the loveliest descriptions I've heard.
I always use that as my, metaphor, because that's how it seems.
I fully agree. I 100% just different names for the same thing. And then people go and they fight wars and kill each other because you don't say the name that I call it. It's like, I don't understand.
Yeah, with these small little detailed differences over time that have been developed. But yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Totally.
And also, I'm trying to stop thinking of just God, but goddess. Because there's also the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And that's, it's something I'm exploring more, feeling, tapping into, praying to, because I always would pray to this kind of masculine God. Mm. And for the past few years, I've been introduced to more of the divine mother, the divine feminine figures, just most basic is the Virgin Mary. And so many others. And so, that's kind of fun too. Cause you can use different telephone lines and maybe they work better with you. You relate more to the Virgin Mary than to Buddha. Mm. And that's okay. So it's kind of like finding what resonates, what is, you know, more real in your heart. So yeah, that's fun.
I love that. There's a beautiful story I heard on a podcast recently. I think it was Krista Tippett. And if anyone hasn't listened to her podcast, I do so recommend someone with such a heart and such an incredible capacity for compassion and empathy. And she was chatting with a friend of hers who's a rabbi, so a Jewish priest, for those who don't know what a rabbi is, although maybe that's pointless to say. But and he just was so cool. And he was talking about God, and he said, I'm going to tell you a story. There's two main stories, two ways that people can or that we can think about God. And he's like, neither of these are accurate because you can't, it's a metaphor. So don't get too hooked up on it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And he said, the one, and this is the one that we all mainly, that this society, the Western religions mainly ascribe to, is that there's a big circle, huge, and then beneath that is a tiny, tiny little circle, and that big circle is God, and you are the little circle, and God is up there, and you are down here, and that's how it is, you know. And he said, and that's the one that a lot of people are believing in and choosing to go with. And he said, then there's another one, which is the same idea. There's a big circle. Big circle is basically infinite. There's a big circle, and inside of that big circle is a tiny little circle, and that tiny little circle, inside of that tiny little circle is you. And what happens when you rub the line out around that little circle? What happens to the little you? Just becomes one again with God, which to me, that's the one that I've always felt more drawn to. And also through recent sort of mystical experiences with breathwork and psychedelic therapy, have been there and felt that in a way that is beyond the mind, that is more than the mind can hold. So when I hear you talking and saying different phone lines to the same house, it's just another beautiful metaphor for that same. The circle is, we are within the circle that is everything, and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. they talk a little bit about that in Kundalini. I watched this Yogi Bhajan, who's giving a talk, and he said that we come from the divine. We are the divine. We are God. And we've come in this life thinking that we're separate. And so that's why these feelings of the void, the whole, that we're all filling with different things. It's this feeling that we're separate, that we don't have God, that we are of God. We come from it. You know, we're in the circle. So I just have to realize that. And like, yeah, like you said, smudge out the little line that's holding us from feeling that and embrace it.
Beautiful. No. Thanks, Lily. This is so cool. I love how much of this conversation has been about divinity and God and sacredness, because that's actually what I'm trying to remind us all of, is that it's none of it's separate, that sexuality and porn and all the whole experience of being human is the whole experience. There's actually nothing that's separate out of it.
Yeah.
That's why I like you so much, because I know that you got that. Like, we can have that conversation, and I feel like you understand that. I must say, one of the things that I'm struggling with to like feel okay about in the world right now is how many people I'm seeing who are changing their bodies to try to be more of something that they think they should be. And this is not a judgment on people who are choosing to do that. I just don't understand it. So for example, the prevalence of plastic surgery and things like Botox. And when I see someone who's like clearly got huge amounts of Botox and is coated in so many layers of makeup, and same with men, I'm a super hairy man. Like, I am super, super hairy, and I love it. And I've never shaved my body. And yet I've seen men who are less hairy than me, who clearly they got like stubble on their bodies because they're shaving. It's those kind of things. And I'm not judging, but I don't get it, because it's okay to be whatever you are, thin-lipped, small-breasted, hairy everywhere, all of those things. And it's also okay to choose different. And I don't know if people know why they're choosing. They will have a reason of like, oh, it just makes me feel beautiful, but then go deeper into that. I mean, you must see a lot of that in the porn industry, right? Because it's so physically oriented.
Yeah, this is something I've kind of dealt with as well, because as someone who's been on camera since I was 18, I have seen myself age also over the past 10 years. I've seen my on camera, the transition, and it's kind of weird. So you do think like, oh, maybe I've tried Botox. I did it one time and I was like, I want to try it. So I did it and I paid $400, which was like pretty cheap, and got it all over, you know, and I was like, ah. And yeah, it took like a few weeks. Everything froze up. It was funny. I was like, look, am I mad at you? You know, and I kind of, I loved it though. I did. I loved it because I'm a thinker. I'm like a, you know, and I'm thinking hard. So I always feel a bit concerned that people think I'm mad. And so I loved it. I loved that I knew that I wasn't looking angry in that sense. But then, yeah, it's sort of like, why am I so scared of that? Mm. Why do I feel the need to soothe other people at the cost of myself? Is this sustainable? Because there's only like a few week window that you're actually frozen, you know, like then it starts to wear off. And then you have to do it again. And so it's like this every 2-3 months, you're spending hundreds of dollars. And then where does it end? Yeah, the fillers and the cheeks, you start that now. It's like, I'm all about like everyone living their path. So I also don't want to pass judgment. But in my own personal reason why I haven't continued, even though I've thought about it, where does it end? You know, how is that sustainable? And actually what I was thinking recently as I learned about in Kundalini yoga and the whole practice, I'm not sure what to call it. The actual like name for the whole thing, not just the yoga, but the whole ideology behind it. Kundalini is the, yeah.
I think
they talk about the 10 light bodies of consciousness. We have each of us like 10 light bodies, like almost like chakras, but of energy. And the fifth light body is the physical body. And so symptoms of that being out of balance is, yeah, kind of putting so much focus on the perfection of the body, so much on this physical appearance. And so it's not good or bad. It just means it could be a bit out of balance. Because sure, do what you want. Be the perfect being that you feel you want to be. But also, you know, yeah, is this coming from a place of lack, of fear, of rejection? You know, it's like sometimes, yeah, I wonder that too. Like you think Marilyn Monroe, right? She got plastic surgery. And she's the biggest star, female star, you know, of the century. So in the sense of like, yeah, look around, you see her face everywhere. And so in some sense, I can see why, you know, these girls, they've decided like, I want to be this perfect superhuman thing. And in their mind, that's the ideal, you know, so. And they are really nice to look at, you know, like sometimes, like I look at some girls, I'm like, oh my God, she's so perfect. You know, and I love looking at her face and her body. But yeah, it's a bit weird too. Sometimes it's like, why? But I don't want to judge because what if I'm 45 and I want my lips done and some big titties, you know, like, I don't know.
Exactly. I guess it's like this thing of, would that beauty shine through as much in a different way and more sustainably if those same people had chosen to work deeply on themselves and do breathwork practice and really come into a deep relationship with their physical body and their emotional state? And because I've seen people who don't fit that mold that everyone's trying to put themselves into using these different tools that we've invented to like sculpt ourselves. And I've seen people who look, they just don't fit that mold, and yet they're more beautiful than almost anyone I've ever seen. And I'm like, why are they so beautiful? And it's not, if I just looked at them and went, if I compared them directly to that idealized physical beauty, it'd be like, okay, no, they're not there. But then if I connect to what is that light shining through, that is beautiful in a way that is actually timeless, and that no matter how old they get, because I think the question you've asked there, when does it end? When does it stop? At some point, it's going to sag, it's going to wrinkle, it's going to fade, the breath will stop. Eventually, we will be in the ground and not breathe. Like, at what point do we let go? It's almost like that practice of coming to know the body as it is in each stage, and then accepting it in each stage, that's the practice preparing us for the final letting go. And if we don't practice that, it's going to be much, much harder, as we invariably do let gravity take us closer to the ground. And so that's the question. It's not a judgment. And it is also a challenge from my side, I speak for myself. Like, it is a challenge and a question to people who are doing that. And I'd love anyone hearing this who's like, well, I have a lot of really valid answers and things to that. I'm like, I'm fully available to hear. And I'm not stuck in my idea of how things are or aren't. We've built a culture that is about perfection on the outside, accumulation on the outside. Let me build up this big name as Nate Maingard, the rock star musician, and with my perfectly sculpted beard, and I want to look like this amazing, and maybe I'll start shaving my body so that I can be on magazine covers, and then I will be successful, and that's going to make me happy. It's like, does that really work?
Yeah.
When does it end? I love that. That's a really good question. When does it end?
And I mean, yeah, like you're saying, the shining from the inside, like small little segue, but I have food allergies. I am allergic to wheat and corn. And it's a nightmare because it's in everything. And it affects everything, like your gut. You know, people say like it's the second brain or maybe the first brain. And that's so true. And when you're not in full health, it's hard to shine. It's hard to be beautiful, feel like you're glowing, you know. It's easy to kind of get the quick fix, you know, like don't go to the gym, just get that shit lipoed, you know, like, yeah. And so I think that's the challenge also, like for me, because like I've been in this, you know, it's so easy at the beginning of my career. Oh, I'm feeling fat. Okay, I'm just not going to eat for a few days, or I'm going to eat very little, or whatever, you know. And then obviously my moods would be crazy, and I'm up, I'm down, I'm crying, it couldn't be from like starving myself, you know. It's like, it you're damaging your body. And if I look at some of these other girls, and they are about fitness, and they do take care of themselves, and there is this balance that we have to find between being human, striving to be better, healthier, you know, more alive inside, taking care of ourselves, not eating croissants when you're allergic to bread, you know, even though they're good and delicious.
So good and delicious.
They mess me up, you know. Everybody else is eating them. Why can't I, you know? Because I want to feel good, and I don't want to be this cloud of, you know, not taking care of myself. And I think, back to this plastic surgery, I think that's when a lot of times I feel like, oh, I need Botox, is when I haven't been drinking water, I'm tired, I haven't slept enough. I look in the mirror, I'm like, I'm getting old, and I feel this fear of death. And I think, oh, maybe I should just get a little Botox. Maybe that'd be good, you know? And so it's like, I think that's also a lot of what fuels that anxiety around aging is, are we really all taking care of ourselves? Probably not, you know, like and it's a balance. That's another way to just feel like you have to be perfect. It's like, I have to eat perfect and do perfect. Like that requires balance also, because you can't be perfect. But yeah, striving for health more than like a perfection. And then you will be beautiful. You are beautiful. People, you know, you shine from the inside.
Well-being is beautiful, I think. It's like being well. And I acknowledge that we have somehow, you know, there are the people who say this is like a conspiracy of that we're being made sick and it's an intentional thing. I don't know. I can't go that far. That sounds very complicated to me. But somehow it does seem we have built a society that is by default makes people ill. That the way that we educate people, the way we feed people, the kind of transport systems, the work system, it's all, unless we make great effort in the other direction, we get very unwell just towing the line. And that's sad. That's sad to me that it is hard. It's getting easier. It's like what you were saying earlier. It seems like we're in a very critical time where humans are going, hang on a second, we're here for more. This is not what we came here to do, to be, is to just these slaving, whatever, like on the wheel of accomplishment and achievement and status. There's something more than that that's more important. And I think health has something to do with it, because as you say, the physical body and then through the physical, we can experience everything else more clearly if we're breathing right and eating right and drinking right and doing that from a gentle, compassionate, self-loving place. So that it's like, oh, well, I ate a croissant. So fucking what? It's okay. Yeah. Like I feel pain and it's okay.
Yeah. And also not to mention sexuality. Mm. If you're not well, do you think you're going to want to go have sex? Like me as a woman, if I'm eating like shit, I am not in a mood to be sexy. I don't feel like getting in lingerie. I'm bloated, you know, like totally. That ties into it. So if one, on one hand, I'm like, I want to have a good sex life. I want to grow. I want to be good. But then on the other hand, I'm not taking care of myself and I'm just like feeling unwell and low libido. It's like those don't match, you know? So that was a big thing for me is like, am I self-sabotaging my sex life because of some fear I have, who knows, whatever, I'm generalizing, but like, you know, what's more important, the moment of eating, the dopamine, the gratification, or this bigger picture of like this really full and rich and consistent sex life? Because that's what happens. I kind of go on a crazy binge. And then I'm like, I'm tired. I'm depressed. And then I have to kind of detox all the crap. And then I feel better. But it's like during that whole time, I'm not feeling close, connected, you know? So yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
My God, I would love for you to do a like better sex through health and lifestyle choices. Like that, like a book, like a book about that. I think that would be, anyway, that would be so fun. Cause I so hear you. So one of my things around that claiming is ejaculation. I know that men generally get super tired after coming. I get super tired after coming. And if I do it like, so say for example, okay, I have sex, I come. I feel good. I still feel good after, like I'm a bit tired immediately after, but then I'm cool. I'm still, my sexual energy's high, my general energy's high. But then if I have sex either that day again or the next day, or even maybe 2 days later and I come again, that starts to really have an impact. And then if I, a third time, a day or two later, then I'm really like, then I just actually don't feel sexual for like ages afterwards. So I'm just like, I'm fucking exhausted. And that's one, another thing in the Eastern traditions is that men, one of the responsibilities of a man is to learn how to control his ejaculation. That's like one of the skills we have to learn, or not have to, but should, if we want to become sexual masters.
Which basically means that you can learn to orgasm, feel the pleasure of orgasm without actually ejaculating.
Exactly that. Yeah.
That would be sick.
Which is so sick. So I've had the experience. So with edging, which is such a lovely, and if anyone hasn't done edging yet, I recommend it for both men and women. It's such a nice way to build up intensity. It's fucking fantastic. Mm. And there we go. Perfect. You heard it from Lily. You heard it here first. Hopefully not first, but you did hear it here. And what I've found is, so there's this basic gap between the moment that orgasm begins and the moment that ejaculation begins. And I'm talking about for men at this point, specifically. And so, and it's a tiny, tiny gap. So the orgasmic sensation begins, and then very fucking soon after that, ejaculation begins. And once you've gone over the edge, there's no, that's it. It's happening. It's fine. Let go. Enjoy the process. It's done. But if learning to find that edge and stop just as you touch it, just as you get to that orgasmic, it's still, even like I still sometimes get like the convulsions of ejaculation, but without the ejaculation. And it's not the same feeling of that explosive release. It's definitely not like that, but it is like tingly and full body and very like, ooh, that feels so nice. And then it's to like breathe a little bit, calm down, slow down. And then I'm hard, I'm horny, I'm there, I'm still ready for anything else that's coming, instead of, my God, I can't wait to go to sleep right now.
Yeah.
And have you found, so with my beloved, one of the interesting things we've discovered is that for her, if she edges, even though she can be multi-orgasmic and can have, you know, many orgasms in one sexual encounter or during one session of lovemaking, if she just edges, it actually keeps her more like it has a similar effect to as a man, not as intense, but where she finds that her overall sexual energy raises, go like long term, instead of when we're done, she's like lying there, I'm fucking done, like I'm done. Instead, it's like, oh, let's go do some stuff. Have you found that at all, or is that?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love the long teas. I am a very energetic person. So the more it builds up, the more I'm just like riding the clouds, you know, because yeah, if you kind of go at it like very quick and fast and passionately, it's fun. But then yeah, you're like, okay, I'm tired. And you're just exhausted. So I do love, this is also why I love BDSM, is because I love kind of like the playing with energy, the edging and then taking away. And you know, it's the whole game that you can play. And I love to play. I love that, the back and forth. And yeah, just...
Well, that's so interesting. Do you have, I know we're kind of over an hour now. Do you have something else you need to be doing immediately? Because then we can stop now. But I have...
I can probably talk for another 10, okay. 15 minutes.
That's perfect. Okay. I thought we were done and then we just got excited on a new track. So I'm kind of, and I'd love to know. So BDSM, so... I am super vanilla as the term. I only found out that term quite recently and I was like, oh, that's so sweet. For those who don't know, vanilla is like just ordinary sex, basically, without any kinks involved, as far as I understand. And I think a kink would be BDSM. Is that considered a kink? I actually don't know.
BDSM stands for, oh my gosh, okay. Bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, and sadism and masochism. BDSM. I had to learn this during a BDSM scene, and I was like this thing called training a vow, where you like do 4 days slave training, and it's crazy, it's super intense. And so he's like, you know, I'm like holding weights in my hand, my arms are dropping, I'm tired, I'm you know. And so he sets you up with like, tell me again, what does it mean? What is the DS? What is the, you know? And he's like asking you questions and there's a vibrator on you, you know, it's just like madness. And
oh my God,
it's stuck in my head. And every time I think of it, I like kind of.
That's awesome. Yeah. So tell me, BDSM, so Carly and I are very excited to explore more stuff in general. Like we're looking into getting some toys. We're looking at going to a swinging club at some point. Like we're really having lots of conversations and openness about sexuality and what we don't know where our boundaries are yet. We're deeply in love. We've been together 4 years. We want to keep exploring. We want to stay open. But I don't understand BDSM. To me, it sounds like a terrible idea. And I'm not saying that it is, just like when I think, I'm like, that sounds painful and uncomfortable. So tell me from your perspective, what is it about for you? Why do you love it? Tell us a bit more about it, just for anyone who doesn't know much about it.
Oh, I'd love to. So when you say painful, you're actually talking about the sadism masochism part and a bit of the dominance. But dominance doesn't have to be, or discipline, I mean. Mm. But you don't have to have pain to have BDSM. That's just one small section. And I do enjoy that. I don't know. It's not that I necessarily enjoy the pain, but I enjoy the sensations and the ability to be completely just released, to scream, to cry, to be mad, to surrender. You know, it's kind of everything that comes with the pain and the trust of your dominant. That's like, you know, because it's kind of taking your power and putting it into someone's hands and saying, I trust you enough that you won't cross a boundary. And sometimes that can happen. Boundaries get crossed, but like the whole BDSM culture is around consent, follow up, aftercare, you know, making sure that everything was okay, talking about it. Was there something you didn't like? Oh, I apologize. I'll take it in mind. It won't happen again, you know, and that's, you don't get that in vanilla sex. I mean, you should really, we should be kind of debriefing the next day, whatever, saying, BDSM makes it a requirement, which is so nice. And I mean, so yeah, you have bondage and discipline. So bondage, anything, you could tie them up. You could be in a whole full, you know, cross, you know, structure. There's so many different levels that you can play with. And yeah, being in control, you know, like I had this sex therapist woman who I adore, her name's Jaya. And she talked about doing this challenge with her husband where they did 40 days each. One was dominant. And so they agreed, like, kind of set the rules, what she expected. you know, cute things like when you greet me, kiss my cheek or something, you know, refer to me as mistress. Kind of, they're fun rules because, like, honestly, the person doesn't have to follow them. There's no real, there is. But in the couple sense, it's really like playing along, like surrendering your ego, surrendering this pride of feeling of not being in control, and allowing yourself to just kind of be submissive to this other person. And it's fun. It's so fun. And yeah, I mean, I love to cry during a scene, if that sounds crazy.
Oh, really?
It's just this build up, this build up, this build up, this build up. And then it's just like release, you know, and it's just this full emotional body release and the crying. It's so good because, you know, we don't get to cry in this world. We're not supposed to cry in front of people. And so it's kind of like just like releasing demons in a way, you know, it's so good.
Wow. I love this. This is kind of blowing my mind and I'm definitely interested to look more into it. And because it just, I guess I've never chatted with someone who's super into it. And so to see how excited you are and to hear like the joy that it brings you and even to be like, oh, I love when I start crying. I'm like, damn, that's so cool. Like I just never would think, like watching it from the outside, I'd go like, no, I'm not in. But hearing you talk about it and also hearing, as you say, it's consent based and it's really about surrendering, and it's beautiful. I mean, there's beautiful elements in there, and I agree that vanilla sex and just general relating should be so much more about how do you feel about this, how did you feel about that, and being able to check in those ways. That's super cool. And so if someone's interested in sort of starting maybe just like one cool fun thing that is somewhere in the BDSM spectrum, do you have a recommendation or a thing that you think would be fun for a beginner?
Yes, I do. So spanking. Spanking is really like the beginning. It's, you know, it has a lot of ties to very, it's emotional, you know, we were spanked as kids, whatever, maybe not. But it's this feeling of exposure and you know. So one thing I love to do with BDSM, because the thing that can be scary is if someone's new, maybe they don't know like how hard they're hitting. And as a man, you probably don't want to hit so hard that you really hurt her, because that would make you feel awful and she would feel unsafe. And, you know, that's no good. If it happened, you could talk and it would, you could resolve that, but it's better if it just doesn't happen. So what I like to do is do a game where someone's receiving, someone's giving, and for sure you should switch, because I think everybody that wants to be dominant should also feel how it is to be submissive. That's my opinion. And so you ask the person, okay, tell me on a scale 1 to 5, how hard am I hitting you? So that way you think you're hitting a 2. So you go kind of medium soft and they're like 5, you know? So for them, you realize like, oh shit, their pain threshold is like way different than mine. And so it's a fun way to kind of like feel out your partner, feel out your own strength. And yeah, I mean, as with spanking, the best thing I can also say is like, you want to warm up the skin with any kind of like impact play. You're trying to kind of to make it a soft pink before you start doing any kind of firm spanks or you know, because you don't want to bruise. You kind of just want to like have the sensation, and it gets the adrenaline going. It gets all the blood going, and yeah, the excitement. And so that's the best way to start, is just like kind of warming up the skin, get it pink, get it rosy.
A little drumming,
exactly. Yeah, it's so fun, right? Everybody loves that.
That's so cool.
That's what I'd say.
And so would you say, recommend like a hand to start with? Because I know people can get with, you know, paddles and all kinds of things. And I suppose a hand's kind of soft as well, so.
I think hands are the best way to start, because if you're new, you really want to experience, in my opinion, this is my opinion, other people might think differently, because, you know, I mean, some of the basic things, grabbing someone forcefully can be dominant, but learning how to do it in a way that feels like dominant and not aggressive and scary, because there's a big difference. And you can be super crazy rough and intense with someone, and they can still feel safe. You know, they can still feel like, oh, this is exciting, I'm being thrown around, but I know I'm safe, you won't hurt me. You know, as opposed to like, I feel out of control and I'm a bit scared, but I don't want to say anything because we're trying this new thing, you know? So I think interacting with bodies is like so important first, you know, learning the different levels of touch, the grabbing, the soft touch, the holding close, you know, for me, that's how I would start. Definitely. Lovely. With the hand.
That's yeah. Great. Thank you. Ah, that's so wonderful.
Oh, one more. Sorry.
Yes, yes.
While I have you, worshiping. That's a huge thing in BDSM.
Okay.
Worship. Look at someone's foot and worship every inch. Touch it, lick it, you know, hold it, smell it, like, and do that with the whole body. Like, and that's amazing. That gets so much of the energy going. It also helps you like really focus in on this person, on this being that's in front of you, you know, and it's awesome.
So, that sounds fantastic.
Now I'm done.
Thank you so much. That's a great last little note for folks listening to go off now that they're properly warmed up with all the sensual thoughts and ideas. They can take this to their loved ones or themselves and find out where the pleasure is. That's great.
Yay.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Lily. It's just such a pleasure getting to know you these last few months and just becoming friends and having you on here, and really appreciate your willingness to just show up and be a human. So thank you.
Yes, we did it. Woohoo!
How are you doing on the other end of that little journey we just went on? I'm sure that you agree with me. If you've listened this far, then by now I'm 100% that we are on the same page, that Lily LeBeau is a just fantastic, wondrous human being. I don't know if you noticed, but I think even after she told me how to say her name, Lily LeBeau, I still went ahead and said it like Lily LeBeau or Lily Bow or however else I was saying it. Lily LeBeau. Anyway, so yeah, she's fantastic. I will put all links to her website and all that kind of stuff in the show notes. Obviously, she is an adult entertainer. She's a sex worker. She's a porn star. So if you're going to go to her website, it's going to be naked bodies and sex and all that kind of wonderful stuff. So just note that before you make any further decisions. I think she's fantastic. And as we talked about in this episode, I think that sexuality is just a normal part of human expression. I actually had a funny experience a few months ago where I liked one of Lily's photos on Twitter, and it was one where she was showing off her yoni and she was sitting on a countertop, and I just thought it was such a beautiful photo, and so I clicked like on it, went away and came back to my computer, and there were several messages and sort of mentions from people saying, I don't know if you know this, but when you like something, it shows up on our walls, or it, I don't know how it happens exactly, but basically a bunch of people had seen this photo because I had liked it. And my response was something along the lines of, well, first of all, I'm an adult. I love adult stuff. I love erotica. So I'm not shameful about that. And I also apologize for anyone who was surprised. But it wasn't a tasteless photo. It wasn't something ugly or violent or nasty. Whereas, I mean, I don't know how many times you've seen stuff shared on the internet that has been just soul destroying and painful and dramatic and bad news and all that kind of stuff. So to me, sharing the fact that I spread a photo of a beautiful naked woman a little further than it might have gone, even if unintentionally, I think that's a good thing. Anyway, so all of that, I want to hear your thoughts as usual. What are you thinking right now? Go to nakedwithnate.com/Lily, LILY, and you will find her episode, or just go to nakedwithnate.com anytime to just find all the episodes, and hers will be the one on the front page for the next week. I feel so good. She's such a fantastic human. I just so enjoyed the chat. I loved the talks about God and about the whole like different phone lines to the same person's house. I just thought, as you could hear in the episode, I just loved that. I thought that was great. It actually reminds me of another one that I read, like a story, because it's all metaphors, right? It's all just us having conversations with each other about something that's impossible to actually describe. It's like we're trying to use finite words and to describe infinite magnificence. It's impossible. But one of the ones I love is this idea of the teacher coming and pointing the direction. So like someone comes and points at the moon, and people get obsessed with the finger that's doing the pointing. Because really, I think that's what any teacher is doing for us. Even Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, any of these people, all they were ever saying is God is there. And actually, I think what they were all doing, this is maybe I'm wrong here and you can let me know your thoughts, but I think what they're doing is they're just pointing straight into your heart, into my heart, into the heart of every person to ever exist and say that that is where the thing is that you're looking for. It's right there. It's always been right there. It will always be right there. So yeah, in terms of interaction, I just wanted to share a lovely voice note from Charles. Thank you so much, Charles. And also a reminder to please leave reviews. They rock my world. They help other people to hear about the podcast. They let me know that this has value to people in the world, that it's helping things go forwards. If you do leave a review, I will pretty much definitely read it out on an episode. But for now, this is the lovely voice note from Charles. And I'll tell you a little bit of a story about Charles straight after.
Hey, Nate, how's it going? It's Charles here. I just wanted to say hello. Leaving you a voicemail. I've been in Phoenix for the last week. I just got back. Spent some more time with my lady out there. Everything's just going wonderful in my life. And I haven't heard from you in a while. So I just wanted to check in with you and see how you're doing. And make sure everything's okay. And I'm looking forward to listening to this podcast. Can't wait to get into it. But yeah, I just wanted to see how you're doing, man. And how is Nate these days? I haven't been around much, and like I said, I just got back from Phoenix. Went out there and spent a week with her. And Lonnie's really, she's really something special, and I think we got something going here. And just all I can do is thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me, man. You're my brother. You have a good one, man. Bye-bye.
Charles, you got me all teared up over here, man. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to know you and to know the impact I've had on your journey, and definitely to know the impact you have in my life as one of my patrons, one of my people, one of my supporters who's got my back through thick and thin. For those listening, Charles is just an epic, epic dude. And he went through something that is so... the hardest thing, I can't imagine what going through something like that must be like. I've never been through something like that. He lost the woman who was the love of his life from cancer some years ago, and it really hit him hard. And he went through a really, really tough time, and a lot of things fell apart in his life. And then at some point, he heard my song Always Wondering, and he said that it was like the first time that he kind of saw the light again. And so for me, that's like the most humbling thing. Like, I don't know how, you know, whatever that gift, again, what I was talking about at the beginning, that gift that comes through. And I just, that's all I want to do is just get out of my own way so that that can keep happening, and that the people like Charles can hear the stories and the truth speaking and the songs and find whatever they need in it. So Charles, I'm so glad to hear that you and this lovely lady are connecting and that things are going so well for you. It's really great to hear your voice. Yes, brother, absolutely. And it's great that we get to support one another in this life, on this road, on this journey. Thank you for the voice note. And to everyone else listening, thank you for being beautiful, for being here, for existing, for showing up. I just appreciate the heck out of you. And go and visit the show notes. Now is the time. There's a bunch of good stuff there. Nakedwithnate.com. And do all the fun, lovely things. Leave me comments and reviews and become patrons and all of that stuff. And thanks for getting naked with Nate. You're awesome. I'll see you next week.
Well, I'm here naked. And that's the truth, and so are you. And it's okay to remember that it's okay to really.